I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa.
Hello, hello, Vashon Island. This is Megan Hastings, and this is the Cats and Jammer Follies. It is a travel story show. And today we have with us local artist and painter Hita von Mendy and her brother Hans and her sister Elfie. Hans drove all the way up here from Denver, Colorado a couple days ago, and they are going to tell their story about coming to the United States, leaving Germany in 1952 when they were 8, 12, and 14 years old. Now, I haven't had a chance to hear the whole story. I've heard little bits and pieces when Hita and I have had dinner a couple weeks ago. So, and it sounds like a very, very interesting story, and that's why we wanted to have these guys on here to tell it. So Hita, Elfie, and Hans, if you guys will be so kind as to share your story with us. We are all ears.
Great. Hi, this is Elfie, and I'm the middle of the three of us. We emigrated from Germany in 1952 at the end of April, and that in itself is a unique story because CBS needed a family that was emigrating, that they could follow on the radio. And this is 1952. And I won't go into it now, but they chose our family that we could expedite this whole emigration process from months to days, literally. And Wednesday, I remember it was Wednesday, we decided to come to the United States. And I believe that on Saturday, we were on our way.
True. Short time. But we were all happy and excited to leave Germany. Actually, our history goes back to probably the year 1200 when Germans sort of joined the Crusades and tried to Christianize the Eastern Baltic states. So our family actually moved to the Baltic states in the 16th century, and we lived in Riga, which is the capital of Latvia, until 1939, when Hitler's famous non-aggression pact with Stalin was signed, under which all of the Baltic states were turned over to Russia, and all the Baltic Germans who, like in our case, had lived there for centuries, were forced to emigrate and move to Germany. Germany had conquered Poland in the year 1939, and so they had set up places for all these, I think it was about 80,000 Baltic Germans that had to be resettled, and they were resettled in various parts of Poland. We ended up in Posen, which is actually where my sister Hita and her brother were born. I mean, that's correct. Yeah. And we lived in Poland until January 1945, when the Russians were advancing towards Poland, and we had to flee and try to get to Germany. And this was at the end of the, near the end of the Second World War, and a little bit dicey at that time. We had to board a train, which took us partly to Germany, and then we had to get on the road and walk the rest of the way.
Let's talk about boarding that train, Hans, because it was the winter, it was January, it was terribly cold. My twin brother and I were in a buggy, and because we were only 1 year old, Hans and Alfie, of course, had to walk. And everybody was trying to get out of Poland. And my mom and her mother-in-law and us were waiting at the train station from early morning. And finally, towards the end of the day, they announced it would be the last train out of Poland. There was no way she could get on the train. So she went up to a policeman and said, "We've been here all day. We can't get on the train. We can't get through the crowd." And he said, "We'll see about that." And didn't he shoot his gun in the air or something? And said, "Nobody was to get on the train until we got on." And it was so crowded that they had to carry everybody over their heads to get us onto the train.
And this, you and your twin brother, you guys, you were infants.
Yeah.
And this is, 1945. Okay, I'm just trying to make sure to
and
paint
so,
the picture.
And Alfie was?
Four.
Four. And Hans was?
Seven.
Seven.
And it was no fun train. I mean, we ended up in these cattle cars. And it was cold, miserable. And we were on the train for about 2.5 days until the train finally stopped, and that was the end of the line. And it was somewhere in eastern Germany when we got off the train and started walking. And then we made our way through East Germany, various camps from here time to time, staying overnight. And I remember one time at Easter time, which would have been late March, I would guess, we ended up in a what used to be a private school, and to stay overnight that weekend for the Easter weekend. And I remember my mom, we had to go up these wide stairs in the school, and she had somehow found on our marching some colored wooden eggs for Easter. And as we were going up and were carrying the baby buggy with the two twins in them, somehow it tipped over and all these Easter eggs rolled down this long stairway. And I remember that because that was the first Easter that I can remember ever having spent. So we ended up eventually in a town called Magdeburg, which is on the Elbe River.
But wait, my mom's goal was to get to West Germany, right? Well, to get across which river?
Well, that's what I mean.
Elbe, right.
Was this in Eastern Germany still then?
This was still what became Eastern Germany.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still Eastern Germany. And we got to the Elbe River, which goes through Magdeburg. And we were waiting on the shore of the river. And at the time, the retreating German army had blown up all the bridges. There was no way to walk across. But there were little boats that would ferry people across the river to the other side. And the American troops had come to the western side of the Elbe River. So that's why we were all trying to get to that place.
We started trying to be in America already then.
That's true. Anyway, we waited there a couple of days, could never get on a little boat to take us across. And in the meantime, the Russian army had caught up with us. And so we ended up staying in East Germany for the next 2.5 years because we just couldn't get across the Elbe River.
Meanwhile,
the kids, your mother and your mother-in-law, where was your father at this point?
He was in a prison camp, a prisoner of war camp. And interestingly,
but we didn't know that.
Nobody knew where he was. But what had happened is that still back in Poznan, all of my, what was unbeknownst to my mom was that my dad had a hernia and had been taken out on a train. But she didn't know that. And the only news she had was that everyone in his battalion had been killed. So she was pretty much on her own. And at one point, and this is still before she got to the river, right? Was that when you were so sick? When was it when you guys were so sick?
It was, it would have been April of 1945.
And
during that time of the Easter basket, of the Easter eggs falling out of the basket with the twins.
This is all pretty much close together in this time frame. We were staying in an apartment, kind of somewhere up a bunch of stairs, and my mom's mother-in-law was along at this time, right? And so Hans and Aki, right? Got sick.
I did not get sick.
Yeah, so Hans and Aki got sick, my twin brother. And the doctor said, oh, they're never going to survive. You had dysentery. And my mom told me that she was lugging water up the stairs, for the house. And she could feel herself getting sick. And she said, I can't get sick, and I won't. And she didn't.
How long were you guys sick for? Because medicine was different. It would have been cold. I mean,
there was no medicine.
There's nothing really to comfort you.
There was nothing.
You.
There was barely any food. Mm-hmm. I mean, by now Europe had been
desolated,
completely decimated. Yeah, and I mean, her search for food on a daily basis, and Hans, you had to stand and guard the bag or something, wasn't it?
Well, we went hunting for food every day. And we'd go out in the countryside and talk to the farmers, see if we get some potatoes or anything that's edible, and then carry it back. And we lived at that time, it was about a 4-floor walk-up apartment. There was no water, so we had to carry the water from the community well, both for our toilets and for drinking and for everything. And, some of us had dysentery, and so the toilet was used regularly. So it was a lot of water to carry up those stairs.
And then my mom's mother-in-law died of dysentery.
During this period.
Mm-hmm. And then you and I talked a little bit about how strange it was that people could find each other at all. So people would put notices on churches and on bulletin boards looking for their family members. Unbeknownst to my mom, my dad had very serious malnutrition, so they let him go from the prison camp. And he made his way to West Germany where his brother lived. And so the first time my mom heard about that was a note from his wife who said, isn't it great he's back, right? So
that must have just been an insane feeling for your mother.
After
she must have thought that he was dead for all that time.
We've always wondered about that. How could a single woman who didn't know where her husband was, how could she survive with 4 little children?
It was really amazing.
I would say she deserves some kind of medal somewhere, wherever she is in
right.
this realm.
Yes.
Or another.
Yeah. And so what happened, for my dad had been an interpreter in the army because he could speak English and Russian and German. And so when he got out of the prison camp, he got a job with the Americans. I think as a janitor or something in the PX. And wasn't that it?
Well, his first job was as a night clerk in a hotel where the American Army was stationed. And it was in a town called Bad Nauheim. And we probably lived in Bad Nauheim for almost 5 years after that. But anyway, when they discovered each other, my dad came back to East Germany, and he used some American cigarettes to bribe the guards on the border so that we were able to cross from East Germany into West Germany.
He said that he had gotten, the American soldiers would give him cigarettes, and he collected them until he had a carton. And that's what he used to get us out of East Germany.
It's incredible that a commodity such as a cigarette is literally what got you out of that situation and helped you to come here to the United States. Like the power of of that kind of item is incredibly strong during those times.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, all of Europe was decimated. Food was very, very hard to get. You know, it's amazing how many people survived, how many people helped each other. When my dad got us back to Bad Nauheim, the town in Germany where we stayed, we were lucky because you could not stay if you didn't have a place. So you had to have a place to stay.
Like an apartment, you mean?
Yeah.
So would someone have to sponsor you in East Germany?
Not there, no.
I mean, in West Germany?
Yeah, no. But you had to have a place. And there was a family in a house that gave up one of their rooms for us. And so we stayed there for, I think, a couple years, or a year at least.
A year in just one room, all of us, and my aunt, who had stayed behind in Germany, she escaped across the border and joined us. So we were, you know, seven people in one little room in West Germany for the first couple of years that we were there. And my dad got a job as an interpreter with, this is after he was the clerk in the hotel, as an interpreter for the American consulate. And that's how we came to be in this country, because CBS Radio wanted to do this show about immigration family from Germany coming in 1952. And as Hita explained, they squeezed it all together. And because the family that had originally been selected for this program, turned out that the dad had tuberculosis, which made him ineligible to come to this country. So they were looking for a quick replacement, and my dad volunteered us. And that's how come it went so fast, from Wednesday to Saturday.
But was it actually CBS that sponsored your family? Like,
yeah, it was.
And how does that process work? Or how did it work at that time?
Yeah, it was a regular radio program that was called Voice of America. It wasn't Voice of America, something like that. And it dealt with various stories about families. And this was one that dealt with the typical family immigrating to the States. And it was all done probably in the spring of 1952. And it was broadcast about that time, I think it was.
So then we got on the General Muir, the U.S. General Muir, which is a troop ship. Yeah, a troop ship. And it was very exciting because there was so much food, right? And we saw our first movie. Well, some of us saw our first movie on that ship.
How long was the crossing?
Well, when you're seasick, it's about 2 months.
Yeah, we were seasick for some time. I think everybody was seasick, but we made it. We made it. We made it into New York Harbor. And
3 a.m. in the morning, we went right past the Statue of Liberty. And that's so great.
And what I remember about that was, now, this ship was, how many people were on the ship, Hans? I don't.
Maybe a couple thousand.
Thousands. And we're going past the Statue of Liberty. And all the men lifted their hats and threw it at the statue.
It was pretty exciting.
Kind of a salute.
It was pretty exciting because nobody was having a good time in Europe. Nobody was. It didn't matter whose side you were on. It was just a bad time.
Yeah.
And we have to say, we have to give credit to whoever set us up. We had a sponsor in a town, a small town in Minnesota, who was set up through the Lutheran Church. And so that's how come you, and a lot of people ended up to where their sponsor was. And then.
So they, it was churches that would sponsor people.
Yeah, they would sponsor people and they'd have a particular person that would meet you.
I remember when we got to where we were being processed. Now we're not on the ship anymore. We're on the shore. And there is the Salvation Army with donuts. We tasted those donuts and we thought we had died and gone to heaven.
Kind of did.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, they also sent along sandwiches for the train ride to Minnesota.
And were there other families from Germany that had been sponsored also by CBS that were coming over?
No.
So it was a military ship and you guys were the only...
A unique situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, well, they were... But there were people, there were immigrants. We were displaced persons, which was the... And so as displaced persons is how we came to America. And so there were other displaced people coming on other ships too. And stuff. And so the Salvation Army made us sandwiches going on the train. And when we got to Owatonna, Minnesota, our sponsor helped us with everything. But you have to know that the money we had was not. We owed for our train fare when we landed.
You guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us. I just have one question. The family that that you guys lived with in East Germany before you guys left, where you were in the one room, did you ever keep in contact? Was that a family that you had known, or it was just like by chance? It was just like the kindness of...
Just the kindness.
Yeah.
We had nothing to do with them even while we were there.
Well, I'm so glad that you guys made it out of a dire situation and you came here.
And this is so great. A perfect radio to radio.
Radio to radio. Exactly.
We all agree. We kids agreed that the best thing our parents did for us is to bring us to the United States.
I'm sure you had a lot more opportunities here than you would have there at that time. Hans, Elfie, Hita, thank you so much for sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was fun. It was fun having us all three together.
Yeah, it was great.
This.
It was really special
was
to
really
have the
great.
Siblings.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jeff. And this is Megan Hastings with the Cats and Jammer Follies. Thank you.
And we're happy to be here.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Pittsburgh, Parkersburg, Gravelburg, Colorado, Ellensburg, Rexburg, Vicksburg, Eldorado, Larimore, Atmore, Havistall, Chattanooga, Chasta, Nebraska, Alaska, Opelika, Baraboo, Waterloo, Kalamazoo, Kansas City, Sioux City, Cedar City, Dodge City, what a pity, I've been everywhere.